Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Q1 2011 results presentation on the 10th of May 2011. I will now hand the conference over to Yvonne Alexander. Please go ahead.
Hello, and welcome to the 4SC AG Q1 2011 results conference call. I'm Yvonne Alexander, Manager, Investor and Public Relations. I'm joined today by Ulrich Dauer, CEO, and Enno Spillner, CFO. Today, we're going to provide an overview on the operational and financial results in the quarter. Before we start, let me remind you of forward-looking statements. This conference call may contain projections or estimates relating to plans and objectives relating to our future operations, products or services, future financial results, or assumptions underlying or relating to any such statements, each of which constitutes a forward-looking statement subject to risks and uncertainties, many of which are beyond our control. Actual results could differ materially depending on a number of factors. I will now hand the call over to Ulrich Dauer.
Thank you, Yvonne, and welcome also from my side to our Q1 conference call. The year 2011 started with a very successful first quarter for 4SC, highlighted by significant achievements in our clinical drug pipeline, as well as through the completion of a capital increase with international investors. In our clinical pipeline, we advanced our phase II programs, while at the same time, we remain committed to building a sustainable pipeline and continue to progress our earlier stage assets. In January, we started the SHORE trial, the third pillar in our development strategy for our oncology drug, the oral pan-HDAC inhibitor resminostat. SHORE is a phase I/II study in patients with KRAS mutant colorectal cancer who fail to benefit from standard first-line therapy. In this randomized open label trial, efficacy, safety, and pharmacokinetics of resminostat in combination with FOLFIRI, one of the standard chemotherapy regimens, is being evaluated versus FOLFIRI alone. With this trial, we are addressing one of the key oncology markets which are clearly medically underserved. In February, we presented a comprehensive data analysis of the complete phase II-A ENTRANCE trial with our autoimmune drug vidofludimus in IBD patients at the ECCO IBD conference in Dublin, the leading European scientific conference in this disease area. The ENTRANCE trial revealed an impressive response rate of 88.5% in steroid-dependent patients suffering from Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis, while vidofludimus was well-tolerated by the patients. In the quarter, we also continued to progress with one of our phase I candidates in order to ensure a sustainable pipeline. 4SC203, a multi-kinase inhibitor, successfully completed a single-dose escalating phase I trial in healthy volunteers, which proved 4SC203 to be safe and well-tolerated. This provides us multiple options for the further development of this drug in various tumor indications, which are currently being assessed internally. 4SC203 was developed by 4SC through a collaboration with our partner ProKinase in Freiburg. Importantly, we successfully completed a capital increase in this period. We placed new shares with institutional investors in Europe and the U.S., raising approximately 11.7 million euros. These funds will provide an increase in cash runway for the company, particularly important as we head towards negotiating partnerships for our phase II products. However, we are also very pleased that 4SC was able to gain interest from new renowned international specialists and generalist investors, resulting in a broadened shareholder base. We feel this reflects recognition of the clinical achievements 4SC has delivered over the last years, which are demonstrated by our broad and maturing drug pipeline. The interest also highlights the international recognition we now receive as a leading drug discovery and development company of targeted small molecule therapeutics in autoimmune and oncology diseases. Shortly after the end of the first quarter, we announced our first significant commercial partnership with Yakult Honsha, where 4SC granted the exclusive rights for the development and commercialization of resminostat for Japan to Yakult. We are delighted with our partner, Yakult Honsha, as it is the leading company in gastrointestinal cancer in Japan and therefore our ideal partner for resminostat. 4SE received an upfront payment of 6 million euros and is eligible to further milestone payments of up to 127 million euros, as well as royalties in a double-digit percent range. With this partnership, we have delivered validation of the medical and commercial potential of resminostat even prior to final phase 2 results being reported, and have completed the first step in our global partnering strategy for resminostat. Now, at this point, and for further details on our financials for the first quarter, I'll turn the call over to Enno.
Yes, thank you, Oli. I will now present the key financial figures for the first quarter of 2011, which ended on March 31st, 2011. The successful capital increase was an important highlight in Q1. However, as this was extensively covered in the full year results 2010 conference call, I will not reiterate today on the details today. With the exception of the capital increase, no unscheduled or unforeseen financial issues occurred during the first quarter of this year. As the Yakult partnership was announced outside of the quarter in April, it will not have an impact on the Q1 figures. However, I will use this call as an opportunity providing you some overview of the financial impact on our accounting from Q2 onwards. Let me start with the income statement for Q1 2011. During this period, no revenue was generated compared to 0.3 million euros in the same period of the previous year. This is in line with the systematic scaling back of research collaborations, which has allowed for the increased allocation of internal resources to 4SE's proprietary clinical programs. Therefore, we do not expect any significant contributions from research collaborations in 2011. The results from operating activities in Q1 2011 reduced to minus 4.8 million euros compared to minus 5.3 million euros during Q1 2010. This reduction mainly results from a momentary decline in R&D expenses because two clinical trials completed successfully, whilst two recently started clinical trials are starting to ramp up. However, this effect does not indicate a general trend towards reducing R&D costs, but should be compensated again in the second quarter. Due to a positive financial result, the loss of the period was better than the result from the operating activities, showing a total comprehensive income of minus 4.7 million euros compared to minus 5.3 million euros in the comparable period of 2010, and improved by 11% on a basic and diluted birth basis. The loss per share also declined by more than 14% from minus 14 cent in Q1 2010 to minus 12 cent in Q1 2011. This is also a result of the higher average number of outstanding shares in the first quarter of 2011 following the capital increase. In the context with our financial numbers, I will now provide some guidance on the financial recording of the Yakult partnering. This will take effect in our Q2 reporting and the following quarters. The revenue generated by the upfront proceeds from the Yakult partnership will be conservatively recognized as deferred revenue over the lifetime of the resminostat patent, in line with industry practice. As a result, we will record the balance of the payment as deferred revenue within other liabilities. This will extend our balance sheet and reduce our equity ratio. Also, the gross proceeds of 6 million euros will be deducted by a 10% Japanese withholding tax, resulting in a strengthening of our cash position of net 5.4 million euros. This withholding tax will have to be considered in our income statement as we cannot match it against other tax obligations. Now let me comment on the balance sheet and in our cash flows as at March 31st, 2011. Despite the loss of the period, 4SE's equity and total assets increased, equity by 20.6% from 31.2 million euros to 37.6 million euros, and total assets by 18.6% from 37.7 million euros to 41.2 million euros. The successful capital increase in February overcompensated the effects from operations. In this context, the equity ratio increased by 1.5 percentage points to 91.4%. Our available funds stood at 24.6 million euros at the end of the reporting period, compared to 17.6 million euros at the end of 2010. On the basis of this cash balance, plus the net proceeds from the Yakult deal, we feel well equipped to deliver on our strategic and operative goals and to achieve the next value-generating clinical milestones. Regarding our burn rate for the first quarter of 2011, we see an average operative burn rate of close to 1.4 million euros per month, compared to 1.5 million euros per month in the whole 2010. As at March 31st, the number of employees remains at 94, including four more management board members, thus unchanged compared to December 31st, 2010, as well as to March 31st, 2010. 72% of FOSI's employees currently work in the field of R&D. Last but not least, I would like to briefly comment on our share. While monitoring an intense volatility during the first quarter, the closing price on March 31st, 2011 was at €3.47 compared to a closing price of €3.51 on December 31st, 2010. We experienced a sharp rise in the liquidity of 4C shares. Average daily trading volume was at more than 52,000 shares over all German stock exchanges compared to 17,000 shares during the first quarter of 2010, indicating an improvement of more than 300%. The total number of shares increased from 38.5 million to 42 million shares, whilst the free float as of today is at around 31.6%. Thank you, and I would like to hand back to Uli Dauer.
Thank you, Enno. Now, the year 2011 will continue to be a very eventful and important year for 4SC, with various potential stock catalysts ahead of us. In the remaining weeks of the second quarter, we are anticipating the top-line data of the component trial with vidofludimus in rheumatoid arthritis patients. This data will be key for our further partnering and development strategy for vidofludimus, which has already shown clinical proof of concept in inflammatory bowel disease on a standalone basis. In the second half of 2011, two further phase 2 trials will report results with rosminostat. This applies for SHELTER in hepatocellular carcinoma patients who progressed after first-line therapy with sorafenib, and for SAPHIRE, a trial in Hodgkin's lymphoma patients. For both trials, we have already reported on positive interim data. With these significant phase 2 clinical results ahead of us, supported by our phase 1 stage programs, the validation from our partnership with the Yakult for rosminostat, and our bolstered cash position through the successful capital increase and the Yakult partnership, we feel confident, well-positioned, and excited about the months ahead. Now, with this summary, we are available for your questions. Operator?
Thank you, sir. If any participants would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received, and there will be a short pause whilst participants register for a question. Thank you. The first question comes from Robin Davidson. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Hello, good afternoon. It's Robin Davidson from Edison Investment Research. I wondered if, first of all, you had or were able to give any update on the partnering situation for vidofludimus, whether you're getting sort of the level of interest you're expecting in on the basis of the IBD data, or whether you think partners are waiting to see the outcome in rheumatoid arthritis before moving on. Secondly, I just wondered if we're very close to the ASCO American Conference, and I wondered if we'd like to see any data, further interim data from rosminostat published there.
Okay, thank you for your questions. First of all, we have a decent level of interest, indeed, based on the IBD data, which we published as a full data analysis in the first quarter. There are some companies who have a dedicated interest in pursuing IBD development, where we are also talking to other parties who have an interest in both in IBD and RA, and even other autoimmune diseases. And for those partners, of course, the component data, the rheumatoid arthritis data, is going to be important in their decision making. For us, it would, I think, not be wise to start closing deals only based on an IBD business case before we don't know how the RA data will look like.
Okay.
Secondly, we will certainly be present at the ASCO conference, and we applied for certain contributions. Whether or not our scientific contribution will be accepted is not clear yet, but certainly the ASCO is a very important forum for us in, you know, presenting data and in pursuing discussions with, you know, potential partners.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from Sachin Soni. Please quote your company name followed by your question.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Sachin from Kempen & Co. My question is regarding the mechanism of action press release which came out yesterday. Can you say something more about that? What exactly were... So is it established that it is interleukin-17 inhibitor now? And second thing is regarding deferred revenue, as you said. So you said it will be deferred over the lifetime of the patent of resminostat. So that's like how many years? Can you help me there with? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Sachin, for your interest and for your questions. I mean, first of all, the press release yesterday related on two scientific contributions to the DDW, which is, you know, one of the important gastrointestinal conferences taking place in Chicago. And the poster you were referring to is giving some background on the mode of action of vidofludimus, especially as far as the suppression of IL-17 is concerned. And you know that there's, you know, certain speculation around that probably the cytokine profile is directly determined by, you know, the anti-proliferative effect caused by DHODH inhibition, and we clearly have shown that this is not the case, so that we really indeed are interfering with intracellular signaling pathways, which are important for the excretion of IL-17. So this is another scientific data set supporting that we directly interfere with pathways which are important for the excretion of IL-17. And I mean, in that respect, the data is supporting our hypothesis, but there's still research ongoing, and we will certainly continue to give updates on recent developments in the MOA research. Now to your second question, so the patent runtime of resminostat is lasting until 2025 without SPC. Again, as Enno mentioned, we are assuming that we will have a kind of deferred and conservative revenue recognition as far as the upfront payment of the Yakult deal is concerned.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you, Sachin.
Thank you, sir. Once again, if any participant would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. And if you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. Thank you, sir. There appear to be no further audio questions at this time. Please continue.
Yeah, thank you for joining our call today and for your continued interest. We certainly look forward to speaking with you again on one of the next occasions, and bye for now.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's Q1 2011 results presentation. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.